You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is Torture Cast.
Hello and welcome to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. This is episode 21, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, yes, the Giants have won 21 National League pennants. So there you go. There's the Giants connection. This is the Torture Cast. I said my name is Willie Dills, and of course I'm joined by my two amazing co-hosts. I couldn't be here last week. They did a great job. First, I'll introduce Ben Lee. Ben, what's up, dude?
I've got a little bit of back stiffness, but I expect to be podcasting again shortly.
You're throwing off a mound? You're podcasting off a mound again? That's good.
Might even be airing it out a little bit.
All right. And then, of course, Chad King. Chad, welcome back to the show.
21 is my favorite number.
Is it really? Thank you.
Yes. So this will be my best podcast ever.
This will be your best episode. All right. This is gonna be your game six of the NLCS. Yeah. I can see it now.
You guys, let it not all go downhill from here.
You'll need to fire me next episode. No problem.
Right.
Who's number 21? Was that Jeff Kent? Was Jeff Kent number 21?
Yes, Jeff Kent was number 21.
Okay. All right. I thought so. That's not why. Why is it your favorite number?
I won't go into it, but
it was the best year of your life, 21?
It's a nice odd number. I like.
Okay.
21.
Mine is 24. And it's pretty obvious why Willie Mays.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's kind of, to me.
I was so sure it was because you just really liked Jack Bauer.
Yeah, exactly. I love Jack Bauer. I love torturing terrorists, too. That's two of my favorite things. Willie Mays, growing up, I used to read the Willie Mays autobiography from front to back and then flip it back to the first page and start over again, like right then and there. And Willie Mays was my man. So when I got to play, I was in an adult baseball league. I know, Chad, you still play, right?
Yeah, I do.
When I was on an adult baseball league for a short time, I actually played on the Giants. And since they don't retire numbers in the men's adult baseball league, I got to wear number 24. It was pretty sweet. But then, of course, it's a lot of pressure. It was because I suck. So I'm out there and everyone's like, oh, number 24 on the Giants. They're like, let's see what you got. And then I, you know, weakly ground out to the shortstop. So
I have this weird story about Willie Mays. I went up to Alaska in 1996 for an internship for marine biology. I was studying otters up there and urchins. Anyway, I was in the Air Force's library and I pulled out a book about Willie Mays. And I was like, oh, is it Willie Mays? You know, when you're up there in Alaska, you have nothing to do after you work, you know, 4 or 6 hours a day. Anyway, I was flipping through the pages and I found an autograph. Said Willie Mays, number 24, Giants. And I was like, what the hell? I'm in Alaska. Why the hell is this here? So I had it authenticized. I don't know if
they're really authenticated.
You know what? You're good at that. Authenticated.
Yeah.
Authenticated. And it was Willie Mays' autograph.
Wow.
I don't know when it was signed, but the copyright of the book was 1984, so it must have been after that. But
how
still,
did it get to Alaska?
That's my really question. The best question.
It's
evidently
one of those
there's some giant fandom up in Alaska. It's one of our markets.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I bet they block the Giants out in Alaska on MLB.tv, too.
We get tons of downloads from Alaska. Let me just tell you guys. I'm looking at the stats right now. Huge Alaska fan base.
It's that magnetic pole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right next to, like, Mongolia or...
Well, we clearly appeal to Native Americans, so I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
So I've never met the guy, but I have his autograph. So.
You know, I have it, too, actually, because my stepfather got an autograph from Willie Mays. He went to, I don't think it was the Polo Grounds. I think he was in San Francisco. But he went to a game, and he's like 6'4", And he said everybody was like piled around him trying to get his autograph. And since he was so tall, he was able to like reach all the way over everybody and give him his he got his whatchamacallit program. He got his program signed. And so he actually has it. He gave it to me, and then but I just said let's keep it in the house, so it's like framed on the wall. And it's that's like one of my coolest baseball memorabilia right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty damn nice.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Giants. We're totally sidetracked at this point. Let's talk about the current
Giants.
This is what happens when Giants fans just start talking. Like we're just, oh, I got this and I got this and one time I did this. Yeah, so bear with us, folks. All right, let's talk about some of the stuff going on. The Giants are in spring training. You guys talked a lot about it last week when I wasn't here.
Did we ever?
And it's exciting.
We also talked a lot about you. So
really, I didn't catch that. I listened to most of it. I heard you talk about me at the beginning and how I was a gaping hole, which I'm not sure if I understand how to take that, but I'll imagine it's a compliment.
I think at some point I decided you were also an angry day drinking panda bear.
Oh, that's probably true.
Spirit animal.
I have been that recently, but let's talk about Ryan Terrio and his work with Will Clark in the offseason, which excites me a lot. I'm just so happy. Can I just say this as a Giants fan? I'm so happy that Clark is back in our dugout and, you know, around the ballpark a lot. It just makes me so happy. I remember those years, those Clarkless years, you know, he went off to the other teams, the Rangers and the Cardinals, and it was just sad to think of him not in a Giants uniform. But it's just really cool to see him back and working with Terrio. So this is good news. So who's got the skinny on this?
Well, I mean, Will Clark is actually going to be taking up a little more of an instructional role this year. He's going to be roving to different minor league teams and helping them out throughout the year. Doing a little, I assume a bit of hitting work with them because goodness knows that is what Will Clark does very well. But, he's still going to be coming to visit the team once a month. So he's still going to be making his appearances in San Francisco, which is awesome. You know, nobody wants to be deprived of Will Clark's signing, but at the same time, he's put to great use working with our youngsters and getting a chance to actually show them kind of what's made Will Clark, Will Clark. Terrio and Will Clark actually used to work together even before Will Clark, or even before Terrio was a Giant. Terrio actually is from Louisiana, as is Will Clark. So Will Clark has a camp out there, and different people will go to, you know, use the cages and visit the institution, I guess. And Terrio is one of those guys. You know, Clark will work with the pros once in a while, and Terrio's one of them. So it's kind of cool. It's Terrio has actually worked with Clark for a long time. Clark used to like text him when he was with the Cubs and the Cards and talk with him then. So I can only imagine how excited Will Clark is to actually have Ryan Terrio on the same team now.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's every excuse to work with him and see him pretty much all through spring training. And I mean, for two guys that have worked together in the past, you know, you've got to imagine that Will Clark is like a proud papa bear almost, or uncle, I guess.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens when the season starts. But I remember actually. So in '89, Giants had Kevin Mitchell and Will Clark on the same team, and of course everybody knows what happened. We go to the World Series, and I had the tape, you know, the VHS tape of like how the season went and all that stuff they put out afterwards. And I remember one of the things that I always kind of stuck with me was Kevin Mitchell talking about Will Clark helping him hit the ball and telling him that he had to attack the ball. It was just kind of really cool. Like he's that kind of guy who's just like, he likes to talk hitting, you know? And he actually said a couple interesting things, about teaching people to hit. Cause you know, he had kind of his own style. Not everybody really does what he does. I think we've compared Panda to him in a little bit in his swing. You know, he's a little bit unique. So for him to teach somebody else, you worry a little bit that he's going to teach him something that maybe is not natural for them. But his thing was that when you're contacting the ball, that position is universal. So you teach that, you know. You teach the making contact with the ball, the attacking the ball, the, you know, kind of the philosophy of it. So it's really cool to have him around sharing that philosophy again. This excites me.
Anything involving Will Clark excites us. Yeah,
it does. It does.
It thrills, in fact.
I'm glad that Chad's here, too, getting excited by Will Clark stuff because, yeah, I'm a little bit of a nerd about it. But you know what? I got you to back me up.
Yeah, well, Will Clark kind of yells some profanity that I will not yell on this podcast.
Okay,
so we'll skip that part.
We should play that clip. Let's talk about some more people. This will excite some fans, some Giants fans, some recent Giants fans as well. Pat Burrell, becoming maybe a minor league instructor? What's the deal here?
I mean, there's some potential there. Burrell, you know, has
he's
just
bringing the ladies.
Yeah, exactly. They're just going to be excited because they're going to get some of that Pat Burrell runoff. You know, like they're going to be like, all right, this is going to be good.
It's like, all right, guys, we're going to work on hitting, and then we're going to work on all the other stuff.
Yeah, and then we're going to go out. It's going
to
be
no. Great. I have wanted to crack so many Pat Burrell teaches the young men how to be manlier. It seems like such a good like. You know, it's like here's Pat Burrell 101 is how to hit like Pat Burrell, and then Pat Burrell 102 is how to hit it like Pat Burrell.
I think Pat Burrell 101 is how to hit just good enough to be a studly Major League Baseball player and be able to go out to bars. You know what I mean? It's like he was so good. I feel like that guy was so amazing, like when he first came to the big leagues, and then he kind of fizzled for like a long time. I think he was just like, hey man, it's good enough. You know, I'm getting my action. I'm all right. And then, of course, he came here and then
got a couple of World Series rings out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
No big.
I did what I needed to do. I'm probably angering Love for Pat the Bat right now by saying that, but I swear it's all in jest. And I think that's your third shout out now on the TortureCast. So
that sounds like it. I'm just excited though. You know, I like Burrell as a hitter. I mean, guy's got a great eye. Was one of the best at measuring out the strike zone out of everybody on the team last year, besides the Brandons. So you know, He's the quote unquote professional hitter, as well as a professional, a lot of other things. He's such a personality, and he's a Bay Area local. And, you know, you know me, if there's a Bay Area local and they're coming back to the Giants, I'm going to talk about it at some point.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I just think that's great. And I'm really hoping that we see him come back to the big club a couple of times this year just to say hi and, you know, for the reunion Tuesdays that they're talking about and all that. Because he was a big part of the team that won the series. Even if he didn't really get to be a huge part of the run up to it, it was having him around was a huge deal, and I think that bringing him back is the right move for the club to kind of I'd be able to identify him with this club that he had a lot of investment in but didn't get to spend a lot of time with, as opposed to the Phillies that he's had a lot of investment in and did spend a lot of time with. It's kind of nice to be able to establish him a little bit longer, even though he won't be playing, as a face of San Francisco. I feel like that's pretty important.
No, it's cool. And if he can teach those guys to take some walks, then I'm all for it. Cause...
As opposed to taking some walks of shame. But then again, there's no shame. There is no shame in Pat Burrell.
No, I don't believe there is. And I don't think there's any shame in the lady leaving Pat Burrell's apartment either. I just don't think there is.
That's slow clap.
That's a walk of absolute pride. And, you want to just knock on people's doors and tell them, you know?
Well, let's face it. Taking your walk home from Pat Burrell's place is... It's an awfully nice place. No one is going to be around to see you leave, because it's one of the only places in San Francisco where like you're not butting up against everybody else's houses.
Well, yeah. And there's probably another girl on the way in too. So say hi to her. All right. Let's talk about Matt Cain. I like this. Just talk of him sticking around with the Giants, I think it's just good. Do we feel as Giants fans, do we kind of feel like the certainty is that Lincecum and Cain will be gone for the second half of their careers? Like, Chad, what do you think? Like, it seems almost like accepted kind of Giants canon right now that soon enough, Lincecum and Cain will cost too much for us to keep.
Yeah, I think one of them is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I don't think both of them are going to be. I mean, the Giants have almost paid off their debt for the stadium. So, I mean, they really don't have an excuse not to sign one of these guys long term. But, you know, Cain originally said that he was going to take, he didn't say hometown discount, but he pretty much inferred a hometown discount. But in the last couple of weeks, he's said that he'll accept a fair market offer, which is like, well, all right. Yeah. So if you look at kind of the high and the low of the market for where he is, because he's a horse.
Yeah.
3.1 ERA, 200 innings, the whole thing.
I mean, dazzling postseason work. You know, you can't.
Yeah. 21 consecutive innings of no runs in the postseason or whatever.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Amazing. You know, as the Giants, you cannot, you know, discount him. But Jared Weaver, you know, accepted a 5-year, $85 million contract with the Dodgers, which, you know, most people accepted as a hometown discount, which I'm sure the union did not like.
I mean, Jared Weaver, though, I feel like is building everything on primarily last year and some, you know, not as good, but good work in the past few years. So $85 million for me for 5 years of Jared Weaver seems like a little bit of a discount, but not by a whole lot.
Yeah, I agree.
And but I think it's very clear that Matt Cain has shown himself to be better than Jared Weaver and considerably more consistent. So you can guarantee it's going to be higher than 85.
It's got to be.
If that's fair market. Yeah. I mean, I think what he's switched his, I think he's very, being very careful with his words right now to not promise the hometown discount anymore and say fair market value, because what he's really saying is, if you match an offer I get from another team, I will sign it to stay with the Giants, which means exactly we'll have to pay.
I think. Yeah. And Cliff Lee signed a 5-year, $120 million deal. So look,
such a discount, by the way.
Yeah.
No, but he's really good. So, I mean, it's
so
hard
you think
to argue.
Weaver is at 85 for 5 and Lee is at 120 for 5. The Giants, if you like put a dart in the middle, would say about 100.
100 mil, yeah. I think it's right.
Which seems pretty reasonable to me,
It seems pretty reasonable to me. I can't imagine Matt Cain saying no to the Giants for 100 over 5 if any other team offered him 110 or 115 over 5. Because I do think that he wants to take the hometown discount for, you know, 10 or 15 million. I know to us that's an amazing amount of money. But to the entire contract, it's 10%. And does he really want to do that for his family? So I'm hoping he stays. And I hope in the Giants that if they think that that's what's going to keep Matt Cain away from the Giants, they're going to go ahead and up to 110 or 115. That's what they need to do, because Matt Cain is going to be if I were to guess who's going to leave the Giants, it's going to be Lincecum.
Yeah, Lincecum's, I get that feeling, too. Yeah, I think honestly, funny, though, I'm okay with that. I'm pretty much resigned to the fact that, yeah, like, you're right, one of these guys is going to be gone. If it was Kane, I feel like that would kind of be a bit bigger of a blow, just because he's been so consistent for so long, and Lincecum has his ups and downs. And yeah, like, you know, if Lincecum's at his best and Kane's at his best, you probably take Lincecum every time. But they're both, you know, Kane is at his best more often, I'd say, than Lincecum is. And to me, that's really like one of the biggest key differences between these guys. And like you said, horse, you know, he's a guy you could build a rotation around no matter what. He's going to be on the mound. He's going to pitch his innings. And he's going to pitch well every single time he goes out. So now we just need to hit for the guy, don't you think? I think that's...
Well, and I'm inclined to say that so much of it is going to hinge on this year, because I think that if Kane wants to stick around and we don't score any runs for him again, I think that the door starts looking a lot more attractive, as opposed to if we build a team around him and start pitching a lot better, I think all of a sudden that mound, with a whole lot of guys around it that have bats this year, starts looking a lot more attractive. I mean, guys like pitching to Posey, so that's awesome. Guys really like the park and the fans who have been really supportive of Kane and of Lincecum. And, you know, you have to appreciate that. I think that the situation they're in is one that's comfortable, but I feel like we have to do something to make it comfortable and attractive to return to. And I think that unless we hit this year, that attraction begins losing some of its glimmer.
Yeah. If you're Matt Cain's agent, you have to be, you know, whispering in his ear, like, buddy, if you get an offer from a team that has offense, your numbers are going to look amazing, you know? So I know that's going to become a consideration. And really, honestly, the Giants stay healthy, I think he'll feel happy. Like, it's really success, you know, even if he's not getting a ton of run support. If the Giants are successful, that will be much less. But honestly, yeah, it's got to be tough for these guys, dude. I don't know. I've said it on the podcast so many times. Like, I don't know how these guys can keep their heads up going out there every time and losing 1-0 and stuff. So, well, we'll see. This year, it's all brand new, man. Posey's not hurt. Posey's playing. Everything's different. All right, let's talk about Ben, why don't you give us some birthdays while we move on to the week in review here.
Yeah, well, we'll start off our week in review by reviewing some days of the week. We got a couple of birthdays. We have a nice little zinger for the end here, but let's start with the 20th. We've got Levon Hernandez.
Oh, Levo. Although I'll always be mad at Levo about Game 7. Sorry.
That's valid. I got to see.
Don't bring that up.
I'm sorry. I just, man, start Reader. What? Come on.
Right. What? Didn't that series mysteriously end after 6 games? No. So, Levon, I actually got to see him pitch with the Nationals last year, and I remember just kind of going, oh, not bad, not great, But
well, that's what he does.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he's great at not bad, not great. Yeah. And
he was such a funny pitcher because we had Reeder and Levon at the same time, and so all those guys did was throw to the other side of the plate than the guy who's hitting. That was like literally all those guys did. And sometimes you just get really frustrated, you know, watching. I'm like, come on, dude, throw it in the damn strike zone. So anyway, sorry, I'm still mad at Levo. I can't talk about this guy. Let's move on.
We've also got we got a couple of guys on the 25th. One of those is Bob Brenly.
Yeah.
It's hard not to like Bob Brenly.
Bobby B.
He spent a lot of time with the Giants. He's also had a pretty decent career working as a coach and manager. So, you know, points to him and a belated happy birthday.
Absolutely. Who else?
We also have to mention Hall of Famer Monty Irvin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got to play with Willie Mays.
Spent a good 6 years with the New York Giants. It's you got to respect anybody who was able to succeed at such a high level. And, you know, you really just thinking back to being able to watch all these guys play on one team. I mean, Irvin and Mays and McCovey and Cepeda, you know, the number of guys that sort of cross right through that area all one after another is staggering.
Well, isn't Irvin like 94 now?
Yeah, I think he's still kicking, right?
No, he's still alive.
Yeah, I think he's 93, 94.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
Well, and given that yesterday was his birthday, I'm not sure what the number is now anyway.
So. Born in 1919. Holy crap. Yeah.
Wow, good for him. Well, he got to watch his team finally come back and get another World Series because he was on the last team that did it.
The last team that did it, yeah. He was on the 50. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
So,
all right, who else we got?
Well, actually, we've got – this is an auspicious day, guys. It's a good day to be podcasting. This is actually the birthday of three of our recent generation of Giants. Today being February 26th at the time that we're recording this, this is actually the birthday of one Joe Martinez. Uh-huh. Who he was kind of – I actually really liked Joe when he first came up. He was kind of a big deal. And then, you know, of course, everybody remembers Joe a lot of it for the injury and just for seeing him come back and wondering how well he was going to do in his first time out. And just having a lot of concern for the guy. So, you know, I always have that kind of that pang of sympathy for Joe Martinez. You started so well. What could you have been? But
damn, Mike Cameron. Hate
seriously.
That guy.
Yeah, I know.
I want to add him to we should hate this guy right now, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've already got your revenge. You just retired, didn't you?
Yeah, but we still hate him. Mike Cameron. Who do you think you are? All right. who else we got?
Hey, guys, who are not at the team. We also have Mark DeRosa as a birthday today. So happy birthday, Mark DeRosa.
Mark DeRosa.
Happy birthday, Mark DeRosa. Happy birthday, Mark DeRosa's wrist. Please, as a birthday present, please treat him well this year. He says that he's feeling pretty good about the wrist, and he's going to be playing with the Nats this year. So hopefully he's going to provide them a little bit of offense. They could use it.
Except against us. And right. Who else?
And, of course, it being the 26th, this is also a happy birthday to one Mr. JT Snow. So as savior of small children, as Aaron mentioned last week, and also all-around good-looking guy and
leader
of a few important home runs.
Ben, I had no idea. You're such a JT Snow fan.
Haven't I mentioned on the podcast before, game three, our buddy Carlos and I were standing, and my ex-girlfriend, the three of us were in standing room only near the Gilroy garlic fries on the first, like the lower deck. And all of a sudden, this really tall guy walks in front of us, and, you know, we're not about to yell like, hey, move, it's game three, like everybody deserves a chance to watch. But then all of a sudden, Carlos looks up, he goes, dude, isn't that JT Snow? And look up for a minute. Ha, it's JT Snow.
He was hanging out in the free section, huh?
Just hanging out with us in the standing room. Yeah.
So my wife and I met because I was wearing a Giants hat and we had a communal, shall we say, appreciation for Will Clark.
Uh-huh.
But my wife at the time had the hots for JT Snow.
Uh-oh.
And she actually had a life-sized, what do you call it?
What?
Growing. Yeah.
The cutout? Like, you
know, you're waiting awesome. There. It's like one of those fat head things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the cardboard cutouts,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, cardboard cutouts for a height measurement with JT Snow. So,
what's funny is on the one hand, I joke like I'm making fun of it, but there are a bunch of listeners right now that are just like, "Does she still have it? And can I?"
Exactly. So I actually, lived with her when JT was still playing with the Giants. when she had JT's cutout on her closet door. So
that's awesome.
I'm just saying, I could not measure up to JT's snow even back in the day.
You had to keep looking over your shoulder too, man. That's a tough. Well, and
it was a height measurement, so you always knew you couldn't literally measure up. Which
here's the thing, though, Chad.
It's hard.
If here's the thing, Chad. If you were to meet up with JT Snow, now I know he like played football and all that stuff, but you know, remember when he crashed into Pudge Rodriguez? Pudge held on to the ball, man. I think you could do it too, dude. I think you could hold on to the ball. I'm just saying right now. He gave him his best shot, and he went down, held that ball up. So have faith, buddy. You're good.
If Eli Whiteside can hold the ball against Prince Fielder, I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's talk about possible. Let's talk about Posey. Speaking of, never mind. Posey. Posey's hitting off live pitching, y'all. That's good.
Most depressing segue ever. Really.
Yeah, I know. I'm never going to do that again. Posey's hitting off live pitching. This is good news. They're being really careful with him right now in spring training. But, right now it's like other people are having issues, not Posey. So I feel good that we haven't heard a lot of news about anything weird. He's not tweaking anything. He doesn't have a stiff back. You know, he seems to be okay. Things are moving along, and we're all excited to see Posey hit again.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. The first two hits he got today were pretty much little dribblers that would have hit and gone straight to the second baseman,
yep.
And the crowd cheered for him. Like Hank Shulman said, the kid can do no wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, right now it doesn't matter. He could go 0 for 50, and everyone would just be like, that's fine, dude. Just come back. Yeah.
Just, you're going to be all right. Just give it time.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about it last week? I mean, he had started slow last year before the injury, and the love for Posey never waned once during that. So that's just how San Francisco is just in love with this guy. So, and we are too. Panda hits Kane with a liner. Is what happened there?
Today was actually the first day of live batting practice. So a couple of guys took the mound against a few different pitchers, including, you know, Lynn Sikkim and Kane got some time in, Affeldt, Romo, a bunch of the different pitchers pretty much all had their chance to pitch live against the batters. Just, you know, work in the strike zone, trying to see where their control's at.
And so
you saw a couple of
different
things. I mean, you know, of course, Kane and Lynn Sikkim are throwing darts. But then Panda comes up, and for starters, the first pitch that he sees of the first live batting practice of the season, he swings.
Of course.
So that's
he's not there to take walks, dude. This is spring training, man. Swing the bat.
This is live batting practice with a 99 mile an hour ball. How's he going to find out how he hits against it if he doesn't hit it?
You got to swing at it, dude. Yeah, that's what I do.
But Panda actually smoked Kane with a liner in the left calf. Kane dropped like a stone, and then seconds later pops back up. The trainer comes out, and he's like, no, I'm good.
He's a horse, so he's fine.
Yeah.
So it sounds like people are a little wild, but you know what? It's just getting started. I always imagine spring training to be exactly like the movie Major League. I think that's exactly what it's like every single year, right?
I mean,
Chad, you've been there before, right? Is it exactly like that?
Oh, yeah. You just need to, like, get a little Jobu, you know.
Yeah,
doesn't like the curveball.
No, yeah, exactly.
Good.
Jesus can't hit a curveball. All right, let's talk about some of the other stuff that's going on. Like, before, I actually do want to talk about the A's, which is weird, but we're gonna do it. But let's talk about Ryan Vogelsong and Timmy real quick. They've been showing a little bit of back issues, but it doesn't sound like anybody. Like, Chad, do you know what's going on? Nobody's really actually hurting, right? This is just normal stuff.
Yeah, normal stuff. I mean, Timmy's already been throwing off the mound. No problem at all.
Okay.
Vogelsong's been throwing light toss. He is expected to throw off the mound in about a week. So hopefully no problems at all.
All right, cool. Nothing to worry about. So let's talk about the A's then.
Sorry, Willie, you just said that, right?
Yeah.
You did just say that.
I did just say that. I know. It's weird, right? Here's the thing. I could care less about the A's. And I've said this on the podcast before. When people start talking about the A's, I glaze over, like, almost immediately. I went and saw the movie Moneyball, and the whole time I was just mad that it was about the A's. I don't know. Like, if it wasn't for, you know, how goddamn sexy Brad Pitt is, I don't think I would have enjoyed that movie. But, all right, so the A's are planning to maybe move to San Jose. Is this correct? This is the idea here?
Seems to be a consideration.
Okay. Would that bother either of you guys? I just want to ask.
It would bother me.
It would bother you?
But, you know, I'm not a stockholder for the San Francisco Giants. So that's the issue.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I live in Gilroy, which is the south, you know, area of the Santa Clara County Bay Area. So if the Giants were to give up the rights to the Santa Clara County area, I think the, shall I say, the, I'm trying to put it in political.
don't be political, man. Spit it out. It's all right. No A's fans listen to this show.
Okay.
If you do, and if you do, what the hell are you doing?
Sorry. Okay. The Sharks.
I like to alienate listeners. That's what I like
to
do.
I was going
to
say.
Let's think the Sharks. Okay.
Sharks, they are, sure.
They're killing it, okay, with the San Jose area. And that's what the Giants respond to. That's what most of their client base is from, the San Jose Bay Area, especially with all that client you know, money. Mm-hmm. And if you put the A's down in San Jose, you're going to have all these fair weather fans from the San Jose area, especially with the Silicon Valley money, go ahead and put their money into the A's. That's going to draw away from the Giants. And okay. I mean, I'm a Giants fan. Don't get me wrong.
So keep them in the ghetto is what you're saying. Yeah. Don't let them get it. Don't let them get it, all that money.
It's sad because, you know, I got kids and I'm going to freely admit that I'm going to take my kids to an A's game in San Jose before I take them to a Giants game in San Francisco, because it's easier for me. But hey, you know, the 49ers are coming to Santa Clara, just south of, you know, Great America. So it's already happening here. I'm not going to become less of a Giants fan, but at the same time, I'm going to go ahead and take my kids to what's more convenient. And I think that's what the A's are going for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't really do well in Oakland, I'll be honest. I feel bad for Oakland.
Like 12,000 a game.
Yeah, I feel bad for Oakland because I feel like Oakland fans who are really fans are super diehard about their teams, you know.
Definitely.
And I mean, and I'm that way about the Warriors are. They share San Francisco and Oakland basically, you know. So they have a little bit of a leg up in that respect. But you know, like the Raiders and the A's both don't sell their games out, you know, and the Raiders get blacked out all the time. But then the people who are super into it are like great, like they will not miss a game, you know. So I feel bad for some of the people who are into the A's for just what it kind of is like for them, you know. So, you know, as much as I say that I talk crap about the A's, you know, I don't like hate the A's. I just it's hard to care. I guess is really what it comes down to. All right, so if that happens, Chad will be furious, but he'll go to some games. And Ben, what will you think about it?
I mean, San Jose is a really lucrative market, so I get why the A's are trying to move there, and I also get why SF is trying to hang on to it. San Francisco's really invested
a lot
of time.
Well, the San Jose A's, or the San Jose Giants are already there, so it's like...
That's one of the... Yeah, and I mean, we've really spent a lot of time...
What's going to happen to that?
restating our commitment to them. I mean, we used to have AAA teams out in, like, Phoenix, and, you know, a lot of the stuff got moved closer to home. Having the A-level team be in San Jose is kind of a huge boon for the Giants too, because if you need a guy to do rehab and you just want him to drive an hour south, you put him in San Jose, have him do a rehab start or two there, as opposed to 4 hours to Fresno, or you know, like a 7 or 8 hour plane ride to Richmond, Virginia. I mean, it's that location is strategically important, just like having the Rivercats in Sacramento is strategically important, or the Stockton Ports is strategically important for the A's.
Yeah.
But the Giants have spent a lot of time developing that market. And so I have the feeling that even though on the one hand, I can really see the benefit for Oakland, which really has just never seen they've seen a really deep level of support, but not a large range of, you know, it's like the people who like the A's, like the A's fans that I know are really diehard. And I respect that because that's how I feel about the Giants, but there just aren't enough of them making it to games right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the thing is though, the A's did draw at a certain point in history here with Oakland. It's weird how it is there. It's like, they can't make the hot dogs cheap enough, you know? I mean, they need to start offering like 25 cent dogs or something. But you know what? I like as much as I talk crap about it, I like having that team, both the Raiders and the A's, right over there. I think it's cool that we're like that type of an area.
Really inspires a lot of rivalry. And
yeah,
a lot
it's just kind
of
fun.
Out of it.
The
yeah.
thing is that it's, there's not a bitter rivalry between, you know, the 49ers. Like, the 49ers and Raiders is closer to bitter. But it's really not, you know. But the Giants
unless,
and A's is definitely
but
not.
But that doesn't count.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not the same as say, like, you know, the Giants and the Dodgers. But I right. just think it's kind of fun having them over there. So, all right. So let's talk real quick about some other stuff before we get to our favorite guys and why we should hate people and all that kind of stuff. Benji Molina, by the way, did he – can I ask you guys a question? I don't remember this. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but he got a ring, right?
He did.
Okay. And he would have gotten yeah. a ring either way.
Yeah, he was. That was a running story slash joke. Was that Benji Molina, no matter what he does, is going to get a ring, because
which is a pretty damn good position to be in.
That's not a bad feeling. Yeah, and I mean the same could be said for Chris Ray, but nobody out here talks about Chris Ray. So.
No, we don't care. Yeah. So some of the Giants actually threw him a retirement party.
Yeah, it wasn't just the
Giants. Sad that he's gone, but.
You know, I mean, I think that there was a few people, a lot of the ones who were out in training for spring training. So like, you know, like Ishikawa showed up, which is awesome. Kane and Zito, Miguel Montero, who had never actually worked with Benji as a teammate. You know, a couple of other guys also showed up, including, interestingly enough, Albert Pujols showed up for Benji Molina's
oh, wow.
retirement party. Because then again, he is an Angel now. So that's now part of his team legacy, I guess. But, you know, it's just it's cute. Benji was with his in-laws and they were browsing in the sporting goods store for a really long time. Then he didn't figure out why they suddenly wanted to leave. And then when he got to his house, he was like, wait. Something's happening. And so it was like Kane and Zito and Afel and Ishikawa and Ramon Ortiz and Irvin Santana and guys he had never worked with, like Ramon Hernandez and Miguel Montero and Pujols. And it's just that's
well, you can tell he's like a good guy. And like that's
yeah,
you know,
Benji has a reputation a little bit like I feel like kind of like the reputation that was earned by Mike Matheny. He's a really good guy, everybody tends to like him. You know, he works really hard, puts his head down, does a great job, and also just is. So he's such a presence that people like to have around that if you told me right now that we could, you know, that we could bring Benji back in some kind of like any kind of role relating to San Francisco, I think
bullpen catcher.
Yeah, I don't think that I know a single person that would say no.
So, by the way, can I just real quickly say Travis Ishikawa is with the Brewers? Is that right? Minor league contract with the Brewers?
Ishikawa.
I feel like I heard that somewhere.
That's a good question. I'll have to look that up real quick.
Please, someone check that out for me. Because I thought he was like done.
First baseman with the Brewers organization.
Oh, wow. Cool. All right. So let's talk about another guy who is a former Giant who didn't quite have the lasting good feelings necessarily that maybe Benji Molina had. But I still remember him crashing into walls. And I still remember the throw in game 4 of the NL. What was that? The NLCS? Aaron Rowand. Hoping to break into Miami's outfield, which is not going to happen. He's a backup there. So yeah, so he said something about leaving the Giants and hitting in a huge outfield. He said it takes time to get rid of bad habits. Can I just say real quick, I don't remember him even trying to get rid of any habits ever while he was here. Am I wrong? Am I reading that wrong?
Well, I mean, I think that when he was talking about it, and we'll post a couple of these article links in the the post on the website today, just because I feel like we're referencing a bunch of stuff that people aren't going to get to
see
the way
we
are. Yeah,
we should put these in the show notes, totally.
Yeah, but I feel like the habits he's talking about really have a lot to do with habits you develop from hitting in a large park and watching your, you know, home runs go to die in the outfield. But the bad habit that everybody thinks of when you say Aaron Rowand is that really awkward, you know, penguin, other not politically correct stances names that, you know, it's just that batting stance of his that everybody just kind of went, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What's the purpose? And, you know, I mean, a couple of people even quoted that as part of the reason that he might have been dropped from the team is that he wouldn't make any effort to change.
Yeah, he wouldn't change his style at all.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I find that statement really ironic. Like, it takes time to get rid of bad habits. It's like it does. Apparently, it took you your entire Giants stay to get rid of that batting stance. I'm not even sure it's gone now.
He said, no, I guarantee it's not gone. He said physically it is a tough park to hit in. It gets you mentally. The gaps are 404, blah, blah, blah. So when I hit line drives to the right or right center, you think they're base hits, they end up outs. It basically just sounds like he's whining to me about hitting an AT&T Park, which
yeah,
I don't know.
He should have gone to the Mets because they listened to that and dissented. They brought all the fences in. So, you know.
Yeah, we've talked about bringing the fences in, haven't we, here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's part of the park's appeal, and it's one of the things that it helps out our pitchers, and since that's such a strong part of our team right now, it's hard to say, let's scoot those in. I'd say if we had a guy like David Wright who had a ton of power in the direction of a track that was just going...
But see, the thing is, we won't get a guy like David Wright.
Exactly. Yeah, right now we won't. And, you know, now maybe the Mets are going to draw a couple more hitters who have pull power. But, you know, it's such a character of our park, the way that balls do go to die in the outfield, because we put guys in the outfield like Sheerholtz or Pagan or Torres who are going to catch him.
And, Chad, you said you had argued, I think, for bringing him in too, right? I think both of us were saying we should bring him in. I can't remember.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are you having a sandwich over there? What's going on, Chad? I think Chad's enjoying a hoagie. It sounded like his mouth was full.
Or did it's I catch a hoagie. You?
Okay, all right. A hoagie and some garlic fries. All right, let's quickly. Ben, did you pull these quotes up? Should we reference these comments and respond to them? I don't have them up anymore, but...
I can bring them up if you want to give me a second. I do want to mention one thing while I'm bringing that up, though, while we're actually taking advantage of the chance to talk about the A's. What?
Sure.
I think it's kind of cool that the cover of ESPN Magazine, I think this week, is Brandon McCarthy and his wife, Amanda McCarthy. Because originally Brandon McCarthy was just kind of like... He retooled a lot of his pitching mechanics using something called analytics. And I think it's kind of awesome that ESPN was like, well, you know what? We're going to do a last minute photo shoot with you and with your wife because we're going to go ahead and put you on the cover. He's like, what? I'm on the cover? What? And I think it's kind of cool. Brandon McCarthy is one of the A's that I do really like. He's mainly because he will not pull his punches on Twitter, and also because he likes English soccer, even though he's a Liverpool fan. I can get over that part. But I think that's awesome. And I also think it's kind of neat to see a guy who really doesn't expect to get on a cover get on a cover. You know, I feel like that's like a Vogel song type thing. Like, how did I end up here, and when did this happen?
This is too much A's talk, Ben. You got to move on. We got all right. Tell me these comments.
How about I pull?
I told you I'm glazed over, dude. You mentioned somebody who played for the A's, and I literally stopped listening.
That's like, cool. If I ever want to talk about something and not get interrupted, I'm going to
exactly just say the A's at the front, and then just watch me like not pay attention. It's pretty amazing.
Pick up a cup of water. So a couple of comments to bring up here. We got one on. An older post, Why We Will Win It All Next Year, good old episode 13. Willie was talking about going to the game at Camden Yards. And we actually got another post.
Oh, this
post
is
from,
really cool. I saw
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we got another post from Michael from the Grubby Glove, who wrote, Willie, I was at the same Orioles game that you discussed on this podcast. How cool is that? He also included his write-up of that game, which is awesome.
I looked at the write-up. I clicked the link and looked at it, and he was at the same game because – the Orioles like just destroyed them early, and then it was kind of a laugher game at that point. I totally remember this game now. That's funny.
If anybody wants to see it, you can check out the comments on episode 13. Michael does a lot of really great work over at the Grubby Glove and has featured Chad and his daughter Maya. So take a look over there if you get a chance.
Check him out. And then the other comment was about Chad's write up of Romo.
Romo is better than Wilson. We got a post from Derek Carmona. Just a little note. I've wondered why Romo hasn't been given more chances to close. Hopefully, like the best veteran closers, Wilson will learn to pitch and not just rely on his stuff a la Rivera. I definitely think Wilson, without having all of the pain in his elbow and hip, is going to have a chance to start doing that at the beginning of the season. But I think that as he keeps, Aaron made a good point last week. He's kind of becoming the beard very heavily. And I think that unless he gets back to pitching more like Brian Wilson and less like the beard, I feel like he's going to start coming under more scrutiny in the next year or two, especially given closers tend to have a very short shelf life. I think that Romo will get a couple more chances to close if Wilson kind of keeps pitching the way he's been. But if he gets back to Wilson of, 2010, I think he locks the spot down.
Well, here's the thing. Romo hasn't gotten a chance to close because Wilson hasn't really been injured. He's been a top closer for the Giants.
Oh, but I mean,
and
even when
he was only injured for a little while and he came back and then we kind of closed by committee.
By committee really turned into by Romo, Santiago Casilla, though.
Yeah. But see, Romo has locked down that eighth inning for so long. Do you really just change him out of that, or is that the position he's already in? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, to me, is like the ninth inning more important than the eighth inning? Not really. I mean, I guess it's different because the game is over after it's done. But in the end, an inning is an inning. And if Romo's doing well in that spot, do you really risk moving him out of it? So, you know, I feel like Romo could easily be a closer. But I feel like if Wilson's not hurt, Wilson is still the closer. You know what I mean? And reading your article, like, it was amazing. It was amazing how much I already kind of knew all this stuff. Like, you already kind of knew Romo was a little bit more of a solid guy to go out and get the three outs quickly. We all knew that Wilson is kind of crazy, but I still don't feel like we take the ball out of his hands unless he really has to crap the bed, I think, before he loses his spot. After 2010 and being hurt in 2011, you can't really blame him for the year he had, which still wasn't a bad year. You know what I mean? So.
No, I think he's like the Oscar. You know, he's won three Oscars. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
You know, in honor of tonight.
So, sure.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what the stats are. It doesn't matter how many guys like or dislike him. It's the fact that he's won three Oscars in a row. And you got to give him a little bit of time to see how he's going to do. And, you know.
I think we all agree, though, that Romo could easily step into that role if need be. I think all three of us could absolutely easily say that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to see
a couple of guys that could act as closers on this
absolutely.
Team. And
yeah.
that's
a good place to be. That's a good place to be. But yeah, if you like anybody out there who is wondering, go check out torturecast.com. Check out the little write-up Chad did, because it's actually really well thought out. And it paints a pretty good picture of how those two guys have been for the last few years for the Giants. So before we leave, let's go ahead and give some favorite guys real quick. Ben, you have some here.
Yeah, my new favorite guys are our newest retirees, Pat Burrell and Benji Molina. Pat Burrell, hopefully, will be coming in and working with some of the guys in the minor leaguers in camp, and maybe if we're lucky, making some appearances around the minor leagues, teaching guys what not to do at the team hotel. And Benji Molina is, you know, a real class act, real great guy. Him and his brothers all have two rings, and his brothers are still going strong by his example. You know, Benji Molina is a guy that a lot of San Franciscans really expect for his sense of honor and just for his personality, pretty much as much as his abilities at catcher. Maybe not his running, but that's okay. You know, you never really expected that to be part of his game. And so nobody really...
That was my favorite part of his game, dude.
Yeah, watching nobody really...
Run? Come on now.
Nobody really took it too hard when he knocked in a couple of those inside the park home run. No. yeah, I really like Pat and Benji, both as, you know, one local, one a transplant, and both really a big part of what this team's fabric in the 2000s decade has been.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We don't have anybody to love, Chad, so we're just going to hate on people now. You ready? Go ahead. Oh. Start us off.
Well, I'm ready. Okay. Right. So, Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
Oh, hot button topic.
Ryan Braun.
I know. You can say a lot about this guy, but look, he got off on a technicality.
I disagree, but I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay. I really do think he got off on a technicality, because the reality is his testosterone levels were off the charts. And if you really break it down, 44 hours is not going to make his testosterone go off the charts. So he got off on a technicality. There's no other reason that he got off, but he's going to go ahead and present the reason that Major League Baseball went ahead and didn't basically follow all protocol. And he's the first guy to get off on such a technicality.
But you know what? It's gonna happen if they're not careful. This is the thing about a testing policy like this. They got to administer it well, or else this is what's going to happen. So hopefully this doesn't become the new, like, the new trend is that, well, I'll get busted, but you guys messed it up, so I'll get off. So I don't want to see this commonly happen.
And on the other side of things, I'll point this out, and just sort of we'll leave both sides of it in the air on this, because, you know, I definitely tend to feel
pretty
strongly
about
who's
been accused. Yeah, everyone's got their own opinion on it, but
it has, you know, the whole thing about the scientific idea of the chain of custody is a thing. You know, it's not strictly just a technicality, and more importantly, it's something that the defense during the trial actually showed could be replicated, and they in fact duplicated the effect to show a sample that was otherwise good that had developed the higher level of testosterone.
Okay.
So, you know, it's, and that's something I may either post that up on Twitter or on the site, because I found that was a really good read, talking about some of those things. So if I can remember
Post a link
where
the article
came from.
I'd like to see that. I'm going to hate on someone who I think we can all agree on. Mike Cameron. Why do you got to hit a ball back up the middle like that when my boy Joe Martinez is not paying attention? I mean, he just threw a ball really hard as he could. How is he supposed to look up and see the ball coming back at him like that? That was a real jerk move of you. So, and you kind of ruined that dude's career. So,
and you know, stop being like fast and stuff.
That
was not our.
That was also annoying
to play us. I mean,
that was
come on.
Also annoying.
It's like trying to wave at a gnat.
So I actually think none of us wrote down reasons why we win at all. Are we feeling not so good about the Giants right now?
Okay, I have it set up now so that anytime one of the Giants beat writers tweets something, my phone goes bzzz, and so I'm a little overwhelmed with reasons why we will win it all right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's like every time I'm at work, I'm like in the middle of trying to talk to somebody about something like, well, let me just show you bzzz. Oh, hold on. Posey just hit a single. And then you turn around and somebody's like, hey, can I ask you a quick question? It's like, no problem. Let me just bzzz. Oh, hold on a second. Romo just struck somebody out. You know, it's and like there's it's spring training. Hope springs eternal.
Yeah,
and so it's really hard. Pretty much at this point, the reason that I feel like I'm getting text messages from an entire like fifth grade class somewhere implies to me that we're in a good spot.
I would like to point everybody to look up. Just Google this. 21 National League championships. Just look that up and then see what other team comes up. I just want you to do that for me. Okay. Thank you. That's why we're going to win it all.
I like that.
I think, though, actually the Dodgers have 21, too. So, but you know what? I don't care. I bet you the Giants have the number one result. All right, Chad, what about you? You got any, like, final? Just give me, like, hit us with a quick one. Why are we going to win it all?
Because the Earth's rotation will flip. That's it.
I dig it. Science, dude. It's science, man. All right, that's going to do it for episode 21 of the Torture Cast. Thank God I was able to come back. I miss talking to Giants, and it gets me juiced, man. It gets me ready. It gets me amped. So follow us on Twitter. We're at TortureCast. Follow Chad at ChadK21. You can follow Ben at Fried Duck. You can follow me at Willie Dills. And make sure you go check out TortureCast.com. You can also send emails to mail@TortureCast.com. Get in touch with us that way. And go check out the Giants pod while you're at it. I like those guys. All right. And follow Love for Pat the Bat. I'm going to give her one more shout out. I love her tweets. I don't know why.
That's number four, not the word four.
Yeah, exactly. The number four. Okay, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening to TorchCast. We'll see you guys next time. Boom! A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.